be here this morning. Nice sunshiny day. Be able to get in back into His Word, get back into our routine. We had a good week last week. Now we're gonna get back to our routine, not tradition, but routine. How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. That was very good. All right. Jacob, pray for us this morning.
Dear Lord, thank you for this day, Father. Thank you for everything you do. And thank you for the opportunity that we get to come before you and speak with you, Father. And we know that in times past, approaching you in this way was impossible, Father, but you made a way, a holy way, Father, and we celebrate that every day, Father. Thank you for that. We just ask that you watch over us today, Father, as we know you will, Father, and your providence as we study your word today, and I pray that we grow, are edified, and understand more about you, Father. That is our goal. Ask us all in the holy, precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. I don't get you to turn your Bibles to Philippians 4. We're going to start about verse 8. Keep them close by. I may reference a hymn in there. I'll tell you what, I want to start in verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And God of peace shall be with you. You know, in the book of Philippians, and Jacob, he's going to be in the book of Philippians also after a while. But one thing I noticed about the book of Philippians, when you start out in Philippians in verse in chapter 1 and verse 2, it starts out with peace. And then right here, when we ended in verse 9, it ended with peace. You know, and that's peace with God. You know, that's what it's talking about, the peace with God. You know where your mind goes, you know, where your mind goes, so goes your walk with the Lord.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, because that's just the way it is. You know, it's easier. It's a whole lot easier. Y'all probably have been firsthand on this with your trailer and now your chicken house and all that. But ain't it a whole lot easier to tear something down than it is to build something up?
Yeah.
Yeah. It ain't no problem tearing something apart, is it? Tearing it down, that ain't hard. Ain't much to that. But when to try to build something up, you know, and see, and it's just a fact, thinking on evil, it's a whole lot easier than not thinking on good. Yeah. And talking about evil and good, This year is an election year. It ain't about Democrat, Republican. It's about evil versus good. Just like in your in your TV shows and your cartoons and in life, it's about evil and good. You know, you take Biden and him and his cabinet last week actually condemned Israel for a mistake that they made. You know, you ain't gonna have a bloodless war. That's a matter of fact. You know, and they admitted it right off. Yeah, we happened to happened to hit that one. You know, but they just condemned that. You know, I mean, they're this deep. And Tony Blinken, I know this is recording, but Tony Blinken, he's as bad as Biden. You know, he goes way back. he goes way back. Anyway, I need to get away from that now. But it is, you know, evil does abound, you know. But, you know, you have things here where I just read in, you know, you have to be true in speech. You know, that's one thing I'm a firm believer in is truth. You know, you may have noticed that I wrote actual thing on his. It was about truth, you know, because his life would be a whole lot easier if he'd just always tell the truth and always live in the truth and always and find the truth. And you're going to find the truth here, you know, in the Word of God. You know, He is the truth, right? Yes. He says that I am the truth, and that's what the truth is. You know, it ain't like Oprah said, you know, you got your truth, I got my truth.
It seems like it's a fad for people to say that.
Yeah.
Live your truth.
Yeah, and that's your opinion. No, never mind your opinion. We got the truth. That's all that matters is the truth. Then, but you know, you be true in speech. You be honest. You know, it talks about being honest in your actions, and just toward others. And keep yourself pure. Truth and love, honest report, virtue and justice. You know, praise what is pure. You know, that's what we have to do, you know. Right thinking, you know. What does that require?
Scriptural truth.
The mind of Christ, right?
Yep.
You know.
Talked about that a few
years ago. Yeah, he's talked about that, you know. We need to have the mind of Christ, doesn't we? You know, and the Word of God has to be in us to be able to know what the mind of Christ is. You know, there's those things, you know, it says do. You know, I am getting into his sermon a little bit here, but you know, it's just a misconception, isn't it, yeah. Jake? You know, about doing. You know, they people get them confused. You know,
people, and I've been there. Yeah. They think that what we do is more pleasing to God than who we are.
Right.
And it's not true.
Yeah.
That goes back to what you said before about people with the thought of earning salvation.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a lot of people try.
You're right.
Yeah. Yeah. See, it's about the inner man. It's not about the outward action, then.
Yeah. No, our works are as filthy rags.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and Paul, he presented himself here. You know, he said, in me, didn't he? You know, Paul presents himself as a pattern, you know, just like he did in 2 Timothy. You know, he said, I'm a pattern. You know, that's why, you know, people, I say, oh, y'all worship Paul. We don't worship Paul, but Paul was a pattern, you see.
In relation to, he said, to reveal his son in me.
Mm-hmm.
That was the whole thing. He was going to reveal Christ in me.
Yeah.
All the things that he had done, redeemed him, justified him, sanctified him, made him accepted, and had peace with God and the peace of God. That was what he was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Never heard that before.
Yeah.
Based on the work of the cross.
Yeah. You know, and so anyway, he gave this whole list here, you know, of being true and honest and just and pure and all, and when he says to if he prays, think on these things, that means what he wants us to do, he wants us to reproduce this. We need to do it in our own lives, but we need to be reproducing it. You know, that's what we're supposed to be about here in Rich and Grace. We're supposed to be about reproducing these things in you, you know, in the fellowship of the mystery, you know, and getting these things in you. You see, this one verse right here, verse 8, you know, that one verse, you know, it can change your life if you put them in action in your mind.
Yeah, it's practical.
Yeah. 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 Because, they are practical things, aren't they? But better than learning how to, is, you know, the first thing you need to do is how to think. You got to think before you do. You know, where your mind goes, so goes the walk in the Lord. And you know, we are to have the mind of Christ. And see, and that ain't the only place it's found at. Look at 1 Corinthians 2:16. And then that, and they end in a chapter with that too. It says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. See there? Yeah. If you go back over to the book of Philippians, Philippians 1:27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So that's where unity comes in at. And you have the unity in the one spirit in the mind right here, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Okay, you can keep moving forward and you can see right down the same page in my Bible, you know, in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which also in Christ Jesus. And that was the same as that sounds just like what we just read in Corinthians, doesn't it? sounds just like it. And then again, flip the next page, 3:15 there, says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, he thus minded. And if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. See, that's where I was talking about a while ago, you know, where the opinion don't mean a whole lot if you ain't, you know, if it, both of them don't point to this right here. I think we got, and then on that same page, on chapter 4, verse 2, I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. So see, he got, I got a feeling, Book of Philippians, he wants you to have the mind of Christ, doesn't he?
When I worked in the prison, the convicts used to say, you need to get your mind right.
Get your mind right.
We're talking about religious things.
Yeah, when I read when I read 4:8 a while ago, that's not what you call Peter Pan theology or the power of positive thinking. You know, we're not talking. That's not what we're talking about here.
Right.
You know, we ain't talking about none of that. You know, what was the name, O'Leary? Is that the one?
Kevin O'Leary.
Was it O'Leary?
Which one?
That done the books and all, Power of Positive Thinking.
No, that's Joel Osteen.
No, it was somebody before him.
Oh, really?
but he has a book just like that.
Yeah. No, it was someone before there.
Well, it's funny you said that. Me and Howie was talking about that yesterday. It was like, I was kind of talking about why I was struggling to get published and everything like that. And she was like, well, she's like, I don't sell self-help books. They sell. They appeal to people.
He's a real cliche type person.
Yeah.
Just throws all those cliches out there.
Yeah.
People put on calendars on their desk or something.
Yeah. What's his name? The chiropractor down 14. He's real big on him. Yeah, he has it on his shirts and stuff. Mm-hmm. But true. What does true mean? It's genuine, then.
Something is true whenever the thought matches reality.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, I can think I got $100 in my pocket, but reality is I don't.
Yeah.
So that's not true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got $2 in my wallet.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is I do have $2 in my wallet. So that's
You got $2?
$2,
yeah. How did you take that? No, yeah, how did you take that from me?
So, yeah. So see, I go back to what I was talking about. I go with the opinion then. You know, your opinion is I got $100 in my pocket.
So if a man puts on a stick in the wig and says he's a woman, he can say it off.
There you go. Absolutely.
It's not reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's why I would come back to that, what you said about your truth, like both were saying your truth.
Uh-huh.
That's their truth.
That's exactly right. It's much
involved. Yeah. I'm saying it's not. You know, it's their opinion. It's not true. You know.
And that's the problem a lot with, not to get on tangent, I think that's the problem with our society today. One of them. There are many.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is that everybody has their own truths that everybody wants to live. And that's why the world is so confusing, and that's like the Bible verse.
Yeah.
Whatsoever things are true. Mm-hmm. You find a true person, a person that's true and that doesn't lie, and that's, it's refreshing.
Yeah.
You know, when you see somebody,
yeah.
Fresh in the media, you don't know what's true and what's false.
Mm-hmm.
And something else I see a lot of people doing is like they'll go to church and they'll hear some false prophet speak about how they can speak things into existence. Like,
yeah.
Speak that into my life, like they're God or something.
Yeah.
You know, you can't. Being positive is one thing, but speaking something into existence is just false.
Mm-hmm.
We're not God. We can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't speak good health into my life.
Yeah.
You know?
Even Satan can't do that. He can only manipulate what God has already done.
No, I can't speak nothing into existence. Yeah. Am I supposed to speak on things that are good and wholesome? Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but if you're going to get sick with cancer or whatever, that's just the world we live in.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to speak into existence. You know?
Yeah.
It already exists.
Yeah. So, I mean, they not. That's like.
Kenneth Copeland.
Yeah, Kenneth Copeland, yeah.
I almost got in nonsense one time. Positive thinking like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we talk about sometimes, you know, some of the stuff on Ask the Pastor. I turned it on the other day. One of the first things that the guy said, he talked about some event was going to happen at 8 o'clock at night. He said this. He said, we're going, you know, some people are going to get healed at 8 tonight. 8 o'clock, huh?
What?
Going to get healed. Going to have a healing service. They're going to get healed at 8 o'clock.
They
got to
wait till
8. You got to wait till 8 o'clock. Yeah, got to wait till 8.
Yeah, and the cameras are on.
You know, I'm saying that's, you know, we got a track over there. It's called, it says, Stop Blaming
the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit,
the Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost, yeah, Stop Blaming the Holy Ghost. You know, because, you know, you say that. You say stuff like that, and then it don't happen. Who you gonna blame?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Or if it does happen, and then somebody runs with that and does something evil.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was watching a TV show the other day, and it's a fiction, like fantasy sci-fi thing.
Mm-hmm.
And through science manipulation of this person's body, they were able to heal people.
Yeah.
So. He knew he was getting ready to go on a big assignment in an alternate universe. So, but they're like, we should have the day off before I go do this assignment. And what he did was he went to the hospitals and started healing all the sick people he could.
Mm.
And that's how I feel about these people that say they got the gift of healing. Why do they always got to do it at a church service? Why can't they just go to the hospital and start healing people? You know, and the reason why is because they can't.
Yeah.
You know, that power is in God alone. Jesus did it.
Yeah.
That's because he was God in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but anyhow, don't.
He went to them then.
Yeah. all the people have these healing services and this and that. If they really have that power of through God or whatever they're claiming, you go to the hospital.
Yeah.
You know, do it for free. Don't take up an offer.
Mm-hmm. You've been working 24 hours a day when you're done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Richard Jordan said the coronavirus shot all of that stuff slam out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of my soapbox. Up in West Virginia, there was all kinds of churches up there that was manipulating people and using the Word of God and stuff like that to just manipulate.
Yeah. Yep. I don't know about Richard Jordan or Justin Johnson said he can't understand why there's why there's so many handicapped parking places at these Pentecostal churches around here.
When Christ went, there's a scripture in the gospel where Christ said when he went and he healed them all.
Healed them all. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's whether they believed or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
Because I preach, well, you got to believe. You got to have faith. You know, yeah. Well, with Jesus, he just touched people. People snuck up on him in crowds and touched him, and they were healed.
Yeah,
that's what the woman with the flow of blood did, wasn't it? She kind of snuck up on him and just touched the hem of his garment. So, but anyhow, yeah. I'm sorry. Get back on subject.
But the truth, you know, the truth is uncompromising fact, isn't it? It's a fact. Yeah. When you just got a fact there. You know, the word of God is truth. And why is it the truth? Because God spoke it. And God cannot what?
Oh, he can't lie. Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, he can't lie. You know, and truth is... And truth and trust, you know, they go together, don't they? Truth and trust. You know, it's true, whether to believe it or not. You got your hymn books there. I want you to turn to page 635. We're not going to sing, but we're going to read them in.
Which one, I'm sorry?
635. That's a lot of hymns. Does that look familiar? Okay, we know what sang the second verse, right? Yeah, the second verse is another song. I'm going to read it. Oh, thus be it ever when free men shall stand between their loved homes and the war's desolation. Blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven's rescued land praise the power that have made and preserved us a nation. And then conquer we must when our cause it is just. And this be our most And this be our motto, in God is our trust. See?
Yep.
In God is our trust. And the Star Spangled Banner and the Triumph Star wave over the land of the free and the home of the brave. See, it even talks about trust in our national anthem. But we can't go there nowadays, can we? Yeah. And see, while Go was talking about, you know, what people declare that their truth or not, see, that second verse, that's a whole lot of the reason you see the kneeling and all.
What?
That's a whole lot of reason you see that kneeling and all won't stand for this. Won't stand for it. Because they claim the blacks, they claim that, you know, not all of them, but most of them claim that, you know, that's about slavery.
That's what I got that.
You tell me.
That,
yeah. You know, and see, you know, they. You know, talk about how bad Francis Scott Key was and all. Well, anyway, but I get off on that. What's the next one there? Honest. That's something getting a little rare too, ain't it?
Yeah.
Something is honest. What is honest?
It seems like honest and true kind of goes hand in hand, because honest is being truthful.
Yeah.
Honest,
yeah.
Honest is being truthful.
That's right. Honest is truthful.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. Yeah, to be honest, to be truthful, isn't it?
See,
that's why
it's like it's in motion.
Yeah, when I started up a while ago, saying, you know, talking about being true in speech, honest in action, you know. So, you know, to be honest and true in what you say, you know, it means, you know, honest means not fraudulent, not deceptive.
What's gets bad, you know, you talked about the election here. That's what's so frustrating. It seems as though that just be honest.
Yeah.
Be honest with us. Or be honest with the American people, or be honest and tell the truth.
Yeah.
That's too hard, because then it goes into some false stuff. Like,
mm-hmm.
It's almost as if they cannot.
Yeah, that's like I said earlier a while ago with the thing with Israel. The drone happened to hit one of the wrong targets. You know, they did get the right target, but that was kind of in the in the mix. But they come right out and said, yeah.
You told the truth.
Yeah, they didn't try to hide it or blame it on someone else or, you know, all this stuff and everything. You know, yeah. It just aggravates me.
People stifle honesty. I hate
when people we killed a whole wedding possession. Over in Afghanistan, we did. Didn't say much about that, did
But they probably got the target.
Huh?
They probably got the target, maybe. You know, just like you were saying, war is war, and sometimes innocent people get killed. You know? It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
I gotta be right with God.
But honest, But we just read about honest there in Paul, but it ain't a new thing. Jeremiah 5:1. I like it. Really, take your time sometime and read that whole chapter, chapter 5. Well, 4 and 5 go together. But it's that's an interesting story here in itself. But I just want to read just one verse here. Jeremiah 5:1. Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now, and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if you can find a man. Look at that. If you can find a man, if there be any that execute judgment, that seeketh the truth, I will pardon it. Yeah.
One.
Yeah, just find me one. Find me a guy.
Yeah, it reminds me of Sodom and Gomorrah, where they're saying, let us find...
ten,
yeah,
then 10, nine.
Yeah,
and
then when it kept going down... And my God, like, you know what?
That's mass dishonesty.
Yeah.
Mass lying. Every one of them will.
Yeah. But that is an interesting story. Yo.
Yeah.
You can read in there sometime. But, you know, we know that. Saying, you know, honesty is what a good policy. But, you know,
It's better than all policies. It's better than a policy. And but being honest. And it brings me to another little sideline. We call Abraham Lincoln Honest Abe, right?
Right.
I ain't got no problem with that. But how come we don't call Washington honest?
Yeah, supposedly he never told them.
Yeah. He's the one supposed to cut down the territory and say, I cannot tell a lie then.
Yeah.
That's how he got, that's what Washington did. Do you know how Lincoln got the name Honest Abe? He got the name because he overcharged somebody in a store he was working at. He overcharged them. Then after they had went out the store, he went, oh man, I overcharged them. So he found them and gave them their correct change back, Now, ain't that a little bit different?
Yeah. Well, Honest Abe and Honest Washington, it's kind of a little bit hard to say.
A little bit hard to say.
Yeah. I was like, which one was Honest? Abe was Washington. Yeah, I always got this.
Yeah.
Honest George. It just don't have the same
name. But you got kind of two different honesties there in a way?
Yeah, but
one doesn't sound as good. Okay. But I can see, I can see where that it would be on, because, business requires honest. I think that was one of the things that one of the reasons I reckon that our service station always thrived, because we was honest with the people's cars. When we worked on them and changed the oil in them, we'd be honest with them, and wouldn't overcharge them and try to gouge them, try to find a half a dozen other things we can charge them with.
That's why we got nervous. We had our car repaired this week, and we didn't know the guy.
Yeah.
So we're scared, because it's like, this guy's going to charge us whatever he wants.
Yeah.
And get away with it, because he's got a car.
Mm-hmm.
We had a guy in West Virginia that we really trusted, because he would tell us everything. He'd say, well, I'm charging this because it was hard to get to this.
Yeah.
Or I had to order this part, or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We trusted him.
Yeah.
Because
the
truth before.
Yeah, you trusted him because he was honest. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It don't get no better than old Tony as far as working on cars.
Yeah.
He's good to us.
Yeah, you got to have honesty. Next one to come up on is just. And I guess what just is. Just is just things that are right. Like that. And like that. Just things that's right. See, they go together, don't they?
Form of justice.
Yeah. Justice. Yeah. And when you think on these, it talks about thinking on these things. If you think of nothing but headlines and the injustice, it'll drive you out of your mind.
Yeah.
I've
been looking at stuff. It's driving me bananas. I've got to step back. I told him, I need to step back.
Yeah. That's one thing I do like about that newspaper, right? It's not really left or right, not too much, you know. But it, you know, it just tells you, you know. It's right, you have to do right much reading. Yeah. But it's pretty fact-based, isn't it?
Even then, I had to quit reading. You give me a copy? Mm-hmm. I had to quit reading. It's too much information. Made me angry. I was blissfully angry.
Yeah. But, you know, but the justice, you know, I know Frank probably knows a lot more about this than I do. But, you know, justice requires a standard, you know, and it's a law. You know, that's you know, but we're talking about a law of God, aren't we? You know, and a law of faith. Look at Romans 3:27. Where is the boasting then? It is excluded by what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Then the law of faith. So, you know, justice has been distorted today to be a equal outcome, and you know that's what they call justice now, just to be equal. That's all it seems to matter anymore. You know, that's justice. That ain't really, that's not what justice is about. Yeah. All right, we're running out of time here. The next one is pure. What's pure?
God's word.
Yeah. God's word and ivory soap. you know, things that are unmixed. And, they're unmixed with something foreign. Clear, clean, you know, that's what the word of God is, you know, and to have purity in the heart, you got to know the right doctrine. If you don't have the right doctrine, you got all these other impurities in it, right? So the purity requires discernment and the ability to separate. And and Paul talks about this in Ephesians and in Romans, you know, be separate from some things, right? But you still got your hymn book. Look at 492. This is a good hymn here. It says, purer in heart, O God, help me to be. May I devote my life wholly to thee. Watch thou my wayward feet, guide me with thy counsel sweet. Purer in heart, help me to be. That's good lyrics, isn't it? That was written in the 1800s. And, we won't get into hymns right now. But hymns was a way to relay scripture. That's what hymns was originally designed for, to relay scripture. But we'll keep moving. Lovely.
for the things are lovely. Things worthy of love. The beloved is Christ. The truth is lovely. Look at Ephesians 1:6. Pull another page. All right, go ahead.
To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved.
Accepted in the beloved. The beloved is Christ.
Yep.
That's where we're accepted. You know, we need to think on the lovely when we make a stand against these evil things that we was talking about. Mm-hmm. That's what you have to think on. You know, the goodness of Christ. Yeah.
This is one of them things that's a good report too. He had made us accepted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he made us accepted then. Was that in Romans 5:8?
No, it's part of the scripture that Satan just read.
Oh, yeah. It was in Romans. For some reason I got
Romans 5:8.
Yeah, well, 5:8, that's just, he commendeth his love toward us, yeah. Then while we yet sinners, Christ died for us, yeah. the next one's a good report. You know, a good report is a testimony to faithfulness in him. You know, good reports of Paul's faithful men. See, he was having to get reports because where was he at? He was in jail, wasn't he? Yeah. You know, he's having to go off of reports from his people there, you see. And the next one is for next week. Because I got a little bit too much on the next one. We can't get to it all right now in 5 minutes. Because it's on virtue.
Okay.
And I've been reading a lot about virtue lately. I'll wait on that one next week, okay? All right, thank you.
In this next segment, Teacher Timothy Quorum continues to go through and look at the good things that is described in Philippians, but most particularly he looks at virtue. We hope you enjoy the second segment of this lesson. Thank you.
All right, good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see each other here. It's just a beautiful day today. Sun shining, wind's trying to let. I tell you what, we've had some wind the last couple of days. But I think everybody survived. They down there. Like they said, the Wilkes County, they had it bad down there, tore a service station up and all of it. But we're going to get back into the Word of God. Let's pray. Our dear Father, we thank you for this time that you've given us, Lord, to gather around, be with some grace believing. Look at your message for us today, Lord. Look forward to this, Lord. We look forward to the 11 o'clock service. Jacob has for us. Everything that's done here today will be sure to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We was in Philippians 4, 8 and 9.
Well, guess what? We back. Yeah, I know that I didn't finish, didn't quite finish that up. let me reread it before we get started here. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about that right there toward the end of verse 8 right there, talking about virtue. And I know this is usually what we talk about on Mother's Day. You know, everybody goes to Proverbs, you know, and talks about the virtuous woman and all that. And actually, I think we probably will touch on that a little bit. But I found it interesting when I got to that in verse 8 there, if there be any virtue. Virtue's a, what would you call it, a complex word, because, you know, it's kind of got a broad meaning in a way, you know. And you got a lot of words that come from it, hadn't you? Virtuous.
Virtual.
Virtual, yeah, and
Virgin.
Yeah, and I see you see on America's Funniest Videos people wearing these, what do they call them, virtual reality. Yeah, they putting them things on and running into everything, running into the TV and all this stuff. But now that one though has always kind of got me. They call it virtual reality, right? Well, ain't the virtual part, ain't that, don't that mean real? So it's real. But it ain't.
Feels real.
It's real, but it ain't real. What do you do with it? Yeah, Jesus is real. That's right.
There's a commercial that says the real. What is it? Shocking.
Real. Yeah, but anyway. You know, we'll probably, I'm sure Jacob probably will. I don't know, you know, but he probably will talk more about the virtuous woman and women and all on Mother's Day. Over in Proverbs 12, I think, something like that.
Last chapter of Proverbs.
But, and we all know that, though. But let me ask you a question. We automatically think about Mother's Day when you think about virtuous and everything. Can a man be virtuous?
Yes.
Is everybody in agreement with that? Can a man be virtuous?
31.
All right, here's another question. This is just a question to think about, you know, and we'll kind of hash them out a little bit. If you got a virtuous man, he's virtuous, but he messes up. Can he be virtuous again?
Yes.
Yeah.
Jesus could do that.
So you see, you know, with virtuous, you know, if virtuous is supposed to mean a certain thing, and then if you ain't, can you go back? Can you go back to it?
You know, it's just something to think about, you know. And we're gonna look at it here in a few minutes. Jesus lost his virtue. You know? Huh? He lost his virtue. That's what it says. You know, and that's what got me to thinking about it, you know. About having it, losing it, having it back, But we'll find out that it was a little bit different. It's a different thing with Jesus when he lost his virtue. Jesus. We'll get to it in a minute. But part of being a virtue is growing. And saying that's what we're supposed to be about here at Enriching Grace. We're supposed to be about growing, aren't we? We're growing up, you know. and when it comes to virtues and things of the Bible and things of growing in grace and all, I don't know why I thought about this, but. There used to be y'all used to listen to them, I think. One of them groups. There was boys to men.
Yeah.
You see, and that's what's going on with us, really. You know, but I know we got girls here, yeah. Girls to women.
Yeah.
But, you know, when they talk about men in the Bible, you know, most times they talk about mankind. But you know, you're no longer an infant. You know, you're supposed to grow up. You grow up, you know, and you have to have, and you need to have these virtues. And it's not easy. I've read one of his books over here that he got over here in the library, and it's by C.S. Lewis, and he talks a lot about the challenges of living a virtuous life. You know, there's a lot of challenges there, you know.
One of my favorite questions like that is the Screw Tape letters.
Yeah. I think, yeah, that wasn't the one I was reading. I wasn't reading the Screw Tape. I think it might have come out of the problem with pain.
Yeah, it does talk about.
But it's got this book. You know, it's got the chapters in it, and the chapters in it, you know, it's got the problem with being good. You know, you wouldn't think it'd be a problem with that, would it? But it ain't easy, is it? It ain't easy being good. You know, a problem, you know, but then you got a problem with the divine goodness. You know, what God considers good may not be exactly the same thing as we consider good. Could be two different things, you know. Yeah, but it was. I believe the name of the book is Problem of Pain.
It is.
Problem of Pain is the name of the book. You know, and it's got an excellent chapter in there on that. But it talks a lot about virtue. So, a virtue, what's some of the things that mean virtue? It's strength, ain't it? Mm-hmm. You got strength.
A lot of people tie it with integrity.
Integrity. Good. That's good. Integrity. What else?
When I think of virtue, I think of values.
Values.
Somebody always tries to do the right thing. People would call them do good, but
They do gooder.
Yeah. They always try.
Also,
I guess you could say that. A do gooder.
What they believe and what they do matters.
That's what they would say.
Yeah. I looked at Webster's dictionary. It's got some definitions here. It's got stretching. Stretching?
I can't understand.
Stretching.
Like stretch.
Oh. Yeah. 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 It's got, it says the radical sense is strength from straining, stretching, and extending. So that would that would tell you that virtue was work, isn't it? Virtue ain't just something that just comes natural, I don't reckon. You know. It says strength as substances or quality of physical bodies by which they act, produce effects of other bodies. In this literal and proper sense, we speak of virtue or virtues of plants and medicine, virtues of drugs. I mean, it just goes on and on, you know. Bravery, valor, and that's something you might consider, you know, having valor.
Yeah.
Yeah. This main one in here says moral. I'd go along with this one, I guess. I guess that would go with the do-gooder. Mm-hmm. Moral goodness. And, you know, they say we're running out of clean air or whatever, you know. We're running out of clean air and everything. We're also running out of morals. Yeah. Yeah. What's the opposite of it? Moral? Immoral.
Well, opposite
amoral. Amoral.
There's a difference between amoral and immoral.
Yeah.
Amoral, you don't even care about life.
Got here also, got obedience to truth. And we now know what truth is, right? Yeah. Okay. Look at some of the scripture I got wrote down. We'll talk about virtue. We don't need to turn to scripture here. We can just speak of it. What about Ruth? You know. I believe we'll look at it. Yeah, well, anyway, you can look at Ruth. You can read the book of Ruth. She was a virtuous woman. And then, of course, you got all of them in Proverbs. Proverbs 12, Proverbs 31, Proverbs 29. It talks, you know, most of Proverbs is talking about different virtues. And even in 2 Peter, look at 2 Peter 1. Peter 1, 5 through 8. And besides this, giving all diligence, added to your faith virtue. Excuse me. Yeah.
1:5. And besides this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, and to patience goodliness, and to godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's saying there, you know, we need to have these virtues. You know, I read this and I thought this was a pretty good quote here. It says, there is a difference between doing some particular just or temperate action and being a just or temperate man. You know, someone who is not good, not a good pickleball player, may now and then make a good shot. That would be me. Every now and then I'll make a good shot. But what you mean by a good player is one who their eye and muscles and nerves have been so trained to make good shots, you know, time after time after time. You know, they have a certain tone of quality which is there even when he's not playing. You know, just as mathematician's mind has a certain habit and outlook which is there even when he is not doing mathematics. In the same way, a man who perseveres in doing just actions gets in the end a certain quality of character. See, what I'm trying to say is, as you do these virtues and do these things that that he said here in Philippians 4 and 8, you know, you do these things naturally. You know, you just do them naturally. You know, you ain't got to, you know, have a list wrote out, okay, I need to do this, this, and this, and this, and this. It's just something that will just flow through you naturally when you're doing these things. You know, and that's the quality rather than the particular actions, which we mean when we talk about virtues. You know, so it does mean, you know, some of these things we wrote up here, strength and goodness, excellence, you know, excellence and integrity, and all.
I know with Ruth, like we were talking about Ruth, so when her mother-in-law said, you know, the husbands have died, go on, go your way,
mm-hmm.
That's fine. Nobody would have faulted her for that.
Yeah.
Go your own way. Go your way. She didn't. I mean, it was just, it didn't seem like it was a hard process for her. Like, it didn't say in the Bible, hey, that was a hard challenge.
Yeah.
Like that. No, I just want to stay with you. And it was just simple.
Yeah, said, your God's going to be my God. Right. Said, your God's going to be my God. Your people are going to be my people. I mean. Yeah. Let's just go on with it. Before we go to something else, I found this interesting. Virtue. The word virtue. All right, now we done went all through all these things that the word virtue says. And I tell you what, we'll just go ahead and it ain't that many of them. We'll just look at them. All right. You still in 2 Peter? You see, 2 Peter, one and five, and it talks about adding to your faith virtue. See that, you see that second line? Are y'all saw that? Y'all still on the second?
Yeah, second,
1:5, where it says, right, besides this, giving all diligence. Then it says right there, add to your faith virtue. Alright. If you got a King James Bible, he don't even say that. It ain't in there.
Say if you don't.
Yeah. Yeah, add to your faith and virtue. It don't say that. Alright, in Luke 8:46. I tell you what, I'll just read them that way. You won't have to do all that kind of. In Luke 8:46, and Jesus said, somebody had touched me, for I perceived, here we go, right here. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. And NIV, not in it. It's not in there at all. Mark 5:30, and Jesus immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? It's not in the NIV either. Of course, now in Mark, they do replace the word with power. They replace it with power. And 2 Peter 1:3, I can still see that one. According to his divine power, had given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that have called us to glory and virtue. Okay. That's not in there either. In the NIV. And the other places where it talks about virtue and virtuous and everything, it don't use it. It just don't use the word. Most of the time it'll say admirable. That's it. And then I think it's much more deeper than that.
Admiration didn't just leave Jesus.
Because it talks about it in, when the woman touched him, it talked about him in Mark 5:30. It says, and Jesus immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned around and in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And in Luke 8:45, you got the very same thing. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And I think it also says something about it in Luke 17, and he, being Jesus, came down with them, stood in the plain, and accompanied his disciples and a great multitude of people of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and be healed of their disease. And they were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. Then the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. And like I just read over there, most other versions, they will, they either won't have the word or they'll replace it with power. But see, where we removing the word virtue from the Bible, though, what it does, it kind of waters it down. That's what they're doing. They're watering it down. And what that does, it kind of robs you of a spiritual insight that what was going on here. And you read Mark 5:25, and it's got the whole details about this woman. She was having an issue of blood for 12 years. And notice that it just says a certain woman, they don't tell us who, but which had an issue of blood for 12 years and has suffered many things of many physicians and spent all she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, she came and pressed behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned and pressed and said, who touched my clothes? So it's in Mark, it's in Luke, it's in Matthew. And you remember that, you know, this ill woman, she lacks bodily healing. You know, just as, you know, she lacked bodily healing, just like Israel. Israel was spiritually sick. You see? Israel was spiritually sick. You know, so what leads Jesus was his righteousness, because that's what he needs. That's what Israel needed. That's what we have to have, right? We have his righteousness. It's not our righteousness. It is his righteousness. It's something much greater than mere power. You know, that righteousness is greater than that. You know, from Christ came virtue, you know, because see, you got to look at the context. Power can be negative or positive. Right? You know, we were talking about here a few weeks ago about electricity. You know, electricity runs both ways, don't it? Yeah. Virtue, on the other hand, is always positive. Virtue is a moral excellence, righteousness, and uprightness. You know, but when Israel, you know, when they are nationally converted, you know, not only will she, as Israel being she, will be spiritually healed, but physically healed too. You know. Where was it in the Bible?
They will no longer say I'm sick.
Yeah. No longer will they say I'm sick. Yeah. And the inhabitants say I'm sick. The people that dwell there shall be forgiven their iniquity. Yeah. Isaiah 33, I think. Since virtue and not just power came forth from Christ, the hemorrhaging woman was delivered from her physical affliction. The same will be true of the national Israel. You know, the little flock and their spiritual affliction, which is sin, you know, is now redeemed, justified, and restored. Israel can enjoy life as God intended in the millennial kingdom. It can last, you know, become his kingdom, you know, because he said it's going to become a kingdom of priests, right?
That's right. No sick man can be a priest.
Yeah.
No man with a crooked finger, a crooked back.
Right.
Or bald, gray had nothing. He had the purpose of Christ to heal them all.
Yeah. And the virtue and the power can issue from God today concerning our sin problem too. That's what I meant by his righteousness. And through Jesus Christ's finished cross work, like Israel of the future, we can be saved from our sins, right? Christ died for our sins, right? 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. It's on our card. You know, what does it say?
It's the gospel, then.
It's the gospel, isn't it? He died, buried, and raised again. And he rose the third day. And you got Acts 16, ain't you? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and I shall be saved. And Romans 3. But now Romans 3:21. And that's talking about what I was talking about a while ago. Look at Romans 3:21.
Did you say
3:21?
Oh, that's talking about circumcision.
I'm going to read 21-28. But now, you know how I love him, but now. Mm-hmm. But now, the righteousness of God, see, without law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and to upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness, there it is again, for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. I say at this time, here it is again, his righteousness, and that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is thy boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. So you see, it was his righteousness. You know, without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law. You know, so it's all about his righteousness. But, yeah. And then, you know, it ends with, therefore we conclude. You know, conclude, that means that's it, ain't it? You know, that's just like if I took his gavel out. You know, case closed. Therefore, we can conclude that a man is justified by faith without deeds, right? So, if you got, what we was talking about a little bit a while ago, was talking about the, you got to have, to know about a virtue, you know, you got to know enough.
She has to be. I want to say something about
right?
I want to say something about virtue, too. I was in the grocery store Thursday in the checkout lady. She's always talking about what a nice family I have. And I didn't.
And when I was a child, I lived with people that was no better than animals. When I grew up, the jealousy was so, especially if it's always cycle. And these people actually come after me. So virtue, it was easy for me, I knew firsthand, it was easy for me to choose virtue and try to be up and try to be upright. And so I have always hoped that my children, they would I would stay for them to see the concept. I wasn't good with words. I don't know how to talk, I don't know how to explain. So I was always hoping that they would see the contrast, and you know, they would choose the good, and they would choose love, life, and you know, Jesus. And so that's all, really all I had. And I just thank God you did. Thank God y'all did, and y'all and my grandchildren, and they can see the contrast. See, I already knew there's no other choice, so it was easier for me. So I hope we missed him today. virtue is a choice also. Yeah. It is a choice every day. If Jesus is a choice, and I think it's down to, well, you know, you can, you know, just so it was easier.
So that's what we have here. See, you got, like I misspelled half of it. But, but so you got choices there, haven't you?
Yeah.
Between chastity and lust, faith and idolatry, humility and pride, sobriety and indulgence. So you got different ones there, haven't you? And one of the greatest, one of the greatest virtues though is love, isn't it?
Yeah. You choose it to.
And that's what it said God is, right?
Uh-huh.
God is love.
Love your life, Jesus.
There's your virtue right there. Yeah. No. So back to what it says, whatever possesses virtue and praise, you know, if it has virtue, it will motivate us to do better. And that's always what we want to do, you know, and if it has praise, it is worth commending to others. The virtue over to others, no Christian can afford to waste mind power on thoughts that tear him down, or that would tear others down. You know, you want to share his thoughts. You know, if you're going to share thoughts, you know, you want to try to build people up, not tear them down. You see, you know, if you're even David, you know, David's description of the Word of God is almost identical to these right here. But he's talking about the Word of God. And he has all these virtues in the Word of God. Look at Psalms 19. 19:7. Yeah, 19:7-9. The law of the Lord is perfect. You know, I think I didn't erase that now, but we had that up a while ago, didn't we? Didn't we have perfect up a while ago?
I don't think so.
The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart.
commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening. Now you can turn over to Psalm 119.
That's a lot of options. 119.
Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And saying that, but he'll talk about in the law, you know, was the right way of thinking at that time, you see, you know. So the right thinking is the result of the daily meditation on the Word of God. So, you know, that's why it ends in Philippians. That's why it ends with those things, you know, all these things that we've been talking about, those things which you have both learned and received, just like David was talking about there with the Word of God, and those things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You remember we was talking about it last week, you know, we started out, what was it, early on, it started out with the, being the God of peace and ending with the God of peace. See, that's what he wants for you, to have peace, peace of mind, and peace with him, okay? So, virtue. It's an interesting word. It's a lot in there. All right, thank you.